the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Hi, everybody, and welcome to our Friday morning Colin Cowherd Podcast, NBA trade deadline. Listen, two things that jumped out to me. Chicago, the Bulls, double down on Zach LaVine. Bottom line is, they got an all-star from Orlando, Vucevic, who's having a good year. They're saying Zach LaVine is our guy. We're sticking with him. We just need to get him another all-star. That jumped out to me. Good day for Zach LaVine. The organization's going all in on him. The second thing that jumped out to me was Aaron Gordon, a very athletic, springy forward, going to the Denver Nuggets. That's a real move. You can do a lot with Aaron, both ends of the floor. So you got the Joker. You've got Jamal Murray, your young star, who had a great bubble tournament. You've got Michael Porter, a very athletic big. And now you've got an Aaron Gordon from Orlando, a very active on both ends wing. That's a real basketball team. I mean, that to me is a team that can challenge the Lakers athletically on the wing. You can put somebody on LeBron James. Utah, Portland do not have wing players to defend LeBron James. Denver now does, and the Clippers do. So I thought that was a very savvy move by the Denver Nuggets. They got better. The Chicago Bulls in the East and the Denver Nuggets in the West got better. I do like Victor Oladipo to the Miami Heat. He's a veteran. He plays defense. That's a very young team in Miami. You know, Pat Riley's been doing this long enough. You know, he's been deal-making and playing chess where most of the guys in the league are playing checkers for a long time. So the Bulls got better, Miami slightly better, and Denver absolutely better. Today we're bringing in my buddy Rich Paul, founder and CEO of Clutch Sports Group. Represents LeBron, Anthony Davis, Draymond Green, Ben Simmons, John Wall. We've argued from time to time, if I have a strong NBA opinion and it's one of his clients and I say something he doesn't like, Rich always reaches out. And he joins us now, took a different route to become one of the most powerful agents in America. The greatest compliment, in my opinion, you can pay anybody is calling them a disruptor. I love disruptors. And Rich Paul has done that in his business, and we bring him on just as the trade deadline passes a busy day. So what is the trade deadline like for you? Is it like tax day for an accountant?
Yes, it's like tax day for an accountant. It's like, first day of school for a principal. It's just, you know, it's busy, you know, even if you don't have guys being traded or whatnot, the phones is always working. You always, you know, it's just information flying all over the place. It's like, you know, air traffic control, through the iPhone, you know? But you know, look, trades happen. That's the business, you know, and from my perspective, Colin, it's always just about trying to make sure guys are aware. You know, you're not going to get everything in real time all the time, but you try to be ahead of things. And we had a few guys get moved, was able to, you know, kind of let them know, hey, this is a possibility. It's real. And if it happens, it's part of the business. And, you know, you pack your bags, you get to the next destination, and you come in as a professional ready to work. That's part of it.
Do you ever get into a situation? I saw a rumor on my show. I heard Lakers' interest in Kyle Lowry, and one of the people they thought about moving was KCP. And I said, whoa. I said, he's a big shot maker. I doubted him a couple years ago. You called me up and said I was wrong, and I was. I now think he's one of those guys that LeBron can trust. He's got length. He will defend. And I didn't like the move. Do you ever get in situations where you want to call the GM and say, well, I know you run the basketball team. This isn't good for my client. It's not good for you. I mean, what are your guidelines on opinions on a day on moves like that?
Yeah, you know, you can give your opinion, but you also have to allow the organization to do what they feel is best. Because a lot of times what fans don't understand is it's not about, sometimes it's about today, but sometimes it's about tomorrow for teams. You don't know where they are as it pertains to tax. You don't know what they're valuing. You know, a lot of teams value flexibility. They value assets coming back. And so, yes, you get in those situations where it's like, ah, this is not going to be that great for a guy. Even more so if a guy hasn't received financial security yet, it's even greater. In KCP's case, you know, we had the conversation. He's a professional about it. He understands, hey, I've been kind of down this first half of the year. But like you said, in key moments when it mattered most, he stepped up. He played well. He was compensated for it. He has a championship. And again, it's a profession, man. Things happen. I don't try to control everything. That's not my job. The GM and the ownership group have to do their job. And sometimes you get in situations that may not look to be the best, but you got to make the best out of it.
I did think, I thought Aaron Gordon to Denver was an interesting move between Jokic, Jamal Murray, Porter. Aaron can play. You know, he went down to Orlando, and it's a bad situation, and they're going to start over, and he was unhappy, and they moved him to Denver. That move jumped out to me. Boy, that's an athletic big on a really interesting roster. Your thoughts on that move, and if there was anything else that caught your eye?
That was a great move. And as you know, Jeff Weltman and John Hammond down in Orlando, they're professionals. They understand where they're going as an organization, and they treated Aaron with respect. And that's why they'll be back. That organization will be back with those guys there. But you got to take your head off to Tim Connelly. He lost Jeremy Grant, replaced him now at the deadline with another, you know, athletic wing that can do a lot offensively, great size, fits with their core from an age perspective player. So, you know, again, I think Orlando wants assets. They got them. Denver's going for it. You know, you see the team they have with Jokic and Murray and Michael Porter, who's a good young player coming up, and now adding Aaron Gordon. We just so happen to represent Aaron Gordon as well. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So, you know, Calvin Andrews done a great job there. Calvin's a part of our agent team here at Clutch. And so, look, again, it's a great opportunity for Aaron. You know, it's a really great opportunity for Aaron. He's a really good player. And Orlando, they're going to look at some young guys. They're going to be very active in the draft. They have assets. And again, they'll be back. So kudos to those guys. They didn't just trade them anywhere. Look what they did for Fournier, sent him to Boston. You know, Vucevic went to the Bulls, who I think is on their way to being a pretty good team in the East, as long as they can keep Zach LaVine and continue to add there. And so that's a big move by Denver. I tip my hat off to Tim Connelly. He's always working, and they're going to be tough. They're going to be tough down the stretch.
When you called your client Aaron Gordon, and you go from a tough situation in Orlando to a really talented Denver team, and you call Aaron, and you say, hey, we got something cooking here. If I could do in my job from a company struggling to a company that's on fire, I mean, what was his reaction?
Well, you know, I had talked to him prior. I know Calvin was talking to him in real time. But, you know, Aaron, look, you know, when you've been in the league as long as some of these guys have, you know, 4, 5, 6-plus years, you want to play for something. You want to have an opportunity. And so they gave him that. They gave him an opportunity. You know, you're going to the playoffs. And I think, you know, given that his ability to play on both ends of the floor, he's going to have a real, real, real role there in Denver. And look who look, Jokic is probably the best passing big man in the league today.
Since Arvydas Sabonis, I think he's the best since Arvydas Sabonis.
Triple-double anytime. You know, Jamal Murray's dynamic. And Porter, you know, can't leave him open at his size. What is he, 6'9", 6'10"? So I like it, you know. I like it. And I'm sure Aaron's happy, and Denver's a great city. And he's with a great ownership group, you know. Stan and Josh, you know, close friends of mine. So he's in a good spot. He's in a good spot. You know, Calvin Boots over there. They got a good group over there.
Rich, it's interesting. You were initially, there was fear about Rich Paul. Whoa, what's going on? Rich Paul, disruptor, he's going to move guys around. And although that sounds good, it's also important that you can call every NBA team, they call you back, you do business. So when you were called a disruptor, did you necessarily like it?
Yeah, because when you just, it's two ways to disrupt things, for good or bad. I think from a disruptor perspective, it was for good because it came from a great place. My disruption came for being able to represent the athlete the way they should, not from a transaction perspective, but more about the transformation. Within the transformation, is there transaction? Yes, we're doing business, but that's today. There's a job to be done after that. And so the disruption part came from, you know, number one, people don't really expect you, because you are LeBron's friend, so to speak, to be a professional. They don't expect you to be able to build a business. They said it coming in. Hey, he's not going to be able to do X, Y, and Z. And that's fine. You know, a pair of lips to say anything. But at the end of the day, you know, I wanted to build a company in which athletes could feel like, okay, this is someone who understands me through and through, not just as an athlete, but as a person as well. I can do business with, I can be personal with, and it's not all transaction. And so the disruption part, Colin, I wasn't upset about that. Apple was a disruptor. Phil Knight was a disruptor. Jeff Bezos was a disruptor. Hell, you know, and if those are examples of disruptors, I like it. So I'm okay there. I'm okay.
It is interesting that you are friends with LeBron, and LeBron's got a lot of friends. I know you. I'm good friends with Maverick, Adam. I know all you guys. Mm-hmm. But LeBron does his own thing. LeBron's not going to be told what to do. And when people would say—
And I'm not either.
When people said, Rich, oh, you're LeBron's friend, were you offended a little that it was as if to say LeBron's just going to tell him what to do?
Yeah, because here's why, Colin. Here's why I'm offended by that. You didn't say that to David Falk, right? You didn't say, oh, Michael's just going to tell David Falk what to do. You didn't say that to Aaron Tellem. You didn't say, oh, Tracy McGrady and Kobe when he was there and Jermaine O'Neal, they're just going to tell Aaron Tellem what to do. So the upset part was because I understood when you look in the mirror, I'm young and I'm Black. That's what I'm upset about. I'm not upset that people can think what they want to think. I'm upset that coming through the door, you're judged based upon your association. But again, by me being someone's friend. So it's like, well, I'm his friend. So that means he either A, owns a piece of his business, because there's no way that he can represent LeBron James and he pays a full 4%. And there's no way he don't own any of the business because of what? Because, you know, he's doing it for kicks and giggles, or because I should be like, you know, kind of down and saying, oh, thank you so much for whatever the case may be and not believe in my expertise. No, you can have a friendship with somebody. You can do business with somebody. You guys can respect each other in both arenas and you can make money, right? I do a job, LeBron pays, just like anything else in life. But because they want to discredit, it was about the discredit that make you upset. They didn't discredit Arn. They didn't discredit David Falk. You don't go and say that Dwayne Wade owns CAA. You don't say that. You don't say Chris Paul owns CAA. You would never say, you discredit Richard Lovett because Dwayne Wade and Chris Paul. Like, you don't say that, those things. So don't say it about me. Or you can say it, but the reality of it is, I don't take shortcuts from anyone, including LeBron. He'll tell you that. And so that was the thing. We got past it. It is what it is. You hear it from different agents from time to time, no matter what color, they all say it. Because again, everyone wants you to be successful the way they want you to be successful.
Right.
When you disrupt things, they get upset about that. There's great companies out there. We feel like we're a great company. Everyone has a fit. You're going to get who fits with you. They're going to get who fits with them. We don't run around saying who's not doing what, because we really can care less. But I've gotten parents and players send me text messages and brochures from agents in the business. I'm saying, really? This guy's been in the business 40 years. You shouldn't have to do that. But that's the nature of the business. And so I understand that, but I want to change the nature of the business. It's, you know, it's like if I see another agent at dinner, hey, man, how you doing? If it's his wife's birthday, congratulations. Send him a bottle of champagne or send him a drink. That's just courtesy. That's, you know, I don't hate you because we're in a different profession or we're in the same profession, but we're competitive. I gave the example with Jay-Z. Jay-Z owns Roc Nation Sports. I own Clutch Sports. I did my book with Jay-Z's literary company. I'm not going to do my book with him because he owns Roc Nation Sports and I own Clutch Sports. That's stupidity. Who cares? Right? This is, you know, hey, one thing will happen. He's going to go after the player. I'm going to go after the player. One of us going to get him. Or maybe not. It may go somewhere else. And if so, that's part of the business, you know? So it's very black and white with me.
You know those hot takes you post on social media? Well, now you can win up to $5,000 when you put those takes to the test on FanDuel. It's a new game called Over Under, and it's absolutely free to play on FanDuel. Here's how it works. FanDuel will set lines on things like total points or three-pointers made during every NBA on TNT broadcast. All you have to do is pick over or under for every prop. Your picks could win you a share of $5,000 during every contest. FanDuel's the exclusive home for over-under, and it's available in all 50 states, so you can play from anywhere. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/over-under and sign up now if you have not done so already. You create a new FanDuel account if you don't already have one. It takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. Then put your takes to the test during every NBA on TNT broadcast at FanDuel.com/over-under. They could be worth up to $5,000. Age and location restrictions apply. See FanDuel.com for terms and conditions. Is it ever difficult? So Anthony Davis, you know, I always look at it this way. So Anthony Davis or LeBron James gave his time to Cleveland and they couldn't get him another All-Star. So after 7 years, you can't get an All-Star. I'm all for the player leaving. Anthony Davis is down in New Orleans. They're not getting him help. He's like, listen, man, I'm done with it. And then you have to call that team and say, my guy wants out. And, you know, when you're as good as AD or LeBron, people freak. Is it ever difficult for you? Because the players, as you know, Rich, Carmelo Anthony gave the team a head up. People were pissed. LeBron had a press conference. People were pissed. You can't win as a player. Is it tough, though, when you have to call a GM and say, listen, my guy's been there 6-7 years. He's done. He's done losing. Is it an ugly conversation like with AD?
No. And the AD conversation wasn't ugly at all. It was very simple, you know, and Dale Dips and I have talked since then. It wasn't ugly. The media makes it ugly, right? You have local media, you have today anybody's media on the social platforms, and you have the casual fan who don't really understand, and then you have the educated fan who understands, but, you know, you have to have clickbait. And so, look, in John Wall's case, in talking with Tommy Shepard and the Leonis this year, they done great by John, you know, and we knew that. But there's a time things come to the end, and all you can do is be professional about it. And, hey, here's where we are. In AD's case, it was the same way. It was a simple phone call. Hey, we have now got to this point, and I'm letting you know how we feel. You let me know, you know, what the next steps are, and we'll try to work together to get this thing done. Now, where it becomes difficult is you have to take that to ownership. And it depends on what that conversation is like on the other side, which I don't know. Yeah. But again, I want to be respectful to all GMs and presidents and owners because, again, we have to work together again. So it wasn't nothing personal towards any franchise. But, hey, when your star player calls you and he says, it's time to go, it's time to go. And so we have to do it in a professional manner. We have to do it to where you're not, put an egg on anyone's face. We had to protect the brand of the NBA as well and be conscious of that. And you try to do all those things. But like you said, it's no easy way to break up with anybody, right? It's not. And so I understand that.
So years ago, this has always been an interesting argument for me. So years ago, let's say 20 years ago, let's go 10 years ago, decade ago, if there were 10 great high schoolers, maybe one goes to the G League, one considers overseas, but most go one and done to college. Today, if there's 10 great high schoolers that are close to the NBA, the D League is now the G League. They got money. So they're going to probably get six of them. They're going to get six of them. International is going to get two, and maybe college basketball gets two. So that's pretty obvious. But here's my question, Rich, is that in Zion's case, if the brand is big enough for a year like Duke, that shoe deal when the shoe broke, I wouldn't have known about that in the G League. I honestly think it helped him. Now, not going to get paid for a year, but could I make the argument, Rich, that if it's a big enough college brand for 1 year and, you know, Melo in Syracuse, Zion at Duke, and you win, that college basketball, your client doesn't get paid for a year, but like you just said earlier, it's not about the moment, it's down the road. I think Zion got that deal and Duke was part of it. Is the G League or international always the best starting point for all great high school talent?
No. No, it's not. I will say this. There's pros and cons to both. There's no stage like March Madness. There's not. There's no stage like March Madness. The problem is, and the problem that these universities are going to run into, and why you see a lot of the blue bloods not being as successful as they once was, and again, nobody would probably say this, but it's true, it's because in those schools, 9 times out of 10, it's not about the kid. You know, when you talk about those schools, what's the first thing you name?
Coach.
Okay, then. So now you're going to get those some of those parents that say, well, I don't want to be about that. I want to be about my son, which where the there's the opportunity for the G League and overseas. But me, if I'm a parent and I'm evaluated correctly, given the fact that everyone wants to talk about marketing and branding, right? But what's your education from that perspective? The best way to market yourself is to do what? Tell your story. The best way to tell your story is to be a part of one. The best way to be a part of one is to be on a big stage and perform at the highest level with history behind
it. Yes, yes.
That's Duke, that's Syracuse, that's Kansas, that's Kentucky, that's Michigan, that's so on and so forth. From a Cinderella perspective, that's getting to March Madness and performing. You see this young kid out of Oral Roberts, what he's doing. You know, you see the kid out of Houston, what he's doing. You got, I don't know, what is it, 5 or 6 teams that's 7 seeds and above that's now in the Sweet 16. That's story. That's a story. And so in a normal case where there's fans and you're traveling and they're playing in football stadiums filled with fans, that brand's going to look for that, right? And so it depends on the player. Everyone's not going to be able to sell product. Everyone's not going to be able to be that marketing guy.
Yeah, Zion looks the part, the smile, the joy, the body. Like, to me, he benefited from college.
Of course he did. Yeah, of course he did. I mean, what to do? He benefited and he played at a high level. Hey, listen, there's no amount of money you can pay to be on CBS every Saturday flying through the air. You just can't. We don't know how much that costs. But I will make an argument for some of the kids that went to the G League, especially this year. Okay, I'm a pro. Okay, I'm going for development because that's what the G League is.
Yeah.
It's about development. Now, what are the positives there? I looked at the team. You got Brian Shaw, ex-player, champion, ex-coach. Okay. You got Raj Strickland, one of the best point guards our league have ever seen. You got Sharif Abdul-Rahim, been great. If you're betting on development and you're coming in with that mindset, that I want to come in and I want to understand all the things I need to do to better myself as a professional basketball player, then that's your route. The overseas part, I'm not even focused on that. I'm just going to focus on these two things.
Yeah.
Okay. There is no right or wrong. But what there is when you sit down with your team, and I say this to all young players and their team, you have to be realistic in your position. Okay. If you're talking about this, all of this marketing, that's all well and dandy. But when you watch TV, I just saw Reggie Miller on the Wendy's commercial. Right? Why? Because Wendy's don't have to worry about Reggie Miller going out here and do anything, because when Reggie gets done with his work, he's going home. Very low risk. By the way, he's a Hall of Famer. Right? They'd rather spend the dollars there. They're not really spending the dollars, you know, on the kid who may slip up and put something on their Snapchat or on their Instagram. It's a different world. What the problem I got is the agents today, they're not telling these families this. They're saying, oh, we can do it, we can do it, we can do it, we can do it, we can do it. And then you do nothing. It's okay to educate them, educate the player, educate the parent. And if they walk out of your door for telling them the truth, so be it. Hey, you just got to live with it.
I mean, you and I have talked about this privately. There have been clients that you had to pass on, like guys that would have made you money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But one thing about it, I want to have my respect first. I want to have my dignity, and I have to do things with integrity. Because prime example, Rich Paul, you know, once the toothpaste is out the tube, it's too hard to put it back in. And as an old wily veteran, Mark Termini once told me, okay. So now this stuff goes on the internet. Rich Paul turned down $70 million for Nerlens Noel. What are you talking about? We signed Nerlens Noel in August. The free agency world is dried up. There's not a dollar on the market. In August? What are you talking about? But again, that's out there in the atmosphere, right? So now people take that piece of paper and they run with it. Do I care to deny it one way or the other? No, because I don't really give a shit about it. But the point is, they're more focused on that type of stuff than educating these families and these young men, because we don't know how long they're going to play. Right? Think about it. How many guys go top five, top two, top three out the league? It's not guaranteed. This stuff, at the snap of a finger, you have to get better every year as a player and as a person. Now, every league says what? Culture, culture, culture. Every organization is worried about their culture. That's why when you see all this list of guys and they can't get on the roster, it's not because they can't play. It's because organizations are worried about what this does to our culture, and we'd rather not. Whereas years ago, as you know this, we've seen it, right? We've seen guys come in locker rooms. We've seen guys be really, really, really strong-minded, tough guys, and you put up with it. But nowadays, that's not happening. And so our whole business is changing. And so it has to extend past the court.
Agent, and I've had him my whole life, sometimes gets a bad rap. Like, oh, you've got an agent, watch out.
I don't like the word, Colin. I don't like the word. Representation.
Oh, okay.
I'd rather use representation. Yeah. Because the agent makes me feel like I'm selling you insurance, I never come back. It's like,
That's funny.
Yeah.
When it's interesting. Has anybody ever said to you, well, I mean, this other guy went to Wharton. He's got an MBA. This other guy, what do you say to a guy that says, man, this guy went to Ivy League school. Rich, you didn't go to an Ivy League school. What do you say to him?
Right, I didn't. And last time I checked, you know, most Ivy League schools aren't in the Final Four either. But I don't really say I don't really say much because, again, comparisons are the thief of joy. I don't do that. It's like this, man. Look, if you allow me to represent you, I'm going to represent you at the highest level. Okay? You're going to be educated. You're going to know things in real time. And we're going to hold each other accountable. I can't get into what somebody else did, right? I can't get into that because I've seen it time and time again. When they do it, it's genius. When I do it, I'm a bully, or it's because of this person, or, you know, he's not going to be successful because now he's wearing white after Labor Day. I've heard every excuse there is. They played every card. But my thing is, we just focus on us. And we've been successful. You know, we have over 30 employees now and up to 80 clients across two sports, which is fantastic. And it's been a pleasure to work with the guys, see them grow, see them save their money. But it's a challenge. When you care, Colin, it's an everyday job. When you care. If you don't care, hey, you represent a guy till he signs his contract. And if he signs it, you know, because here's what happens. These kids are told X, Y, and Z. And then what happens is they get the money. So now what you told me you were going to be able to do, I don't even ask you about it anymore because I have the money. Now I can look the part. I feel good. I look good. I have the money. So, but what happened to all the things that I said I was going to deliver? It's prolonged now because now your focus turns into the big deal, right? And so now the next 3 years you go and, you know, get leading up to the deal. Now here they come again. So now once you get the max contract, now you don't want to go anywhere. People say to me, oh, well, if my son go with you, you know, you're not going to have any time for him. Explain time. What's time? Attention for him. Well, how do you spell attention? I know how I spell it. RASULTS. How do you spell attention? It's a difference in our business. And so we focus on something totally different. I can't get into who went to what school because, again, I went to a great school. High school, that is. What I learned in my high school, I applied it in college. We pretty much learned the same thing. But none of that, the obtuse triangle, doesn't exist in our real world. You know, knowing, you know, sodium and the magnesium and science, that don't exist in the real world. You know, I don't write anything in the MLA format that Mr. Francioli used to make me write on every paper I had anymore. I don't use any of that. So I don't get into that. You are for whoever you're going to be for. And in any room, I like our chances at the company. And we're going to be honest and truthful with whomever. And look, we know we can't represent everybody. We don't want to represent everybody. But those we do, we're going to represent you through the highs and the lows. We're going to have fun while doing it. And we're going to be friends and brothers and sisters much longer than you play. And so that's what I look forward to.
All right, Rich, I want to ask you about people you don't represent. So let's start with this.
Okay.
If you could rep a star athlete in another sport, who would it be?
I would probably say Tatis. Yeah. Because he's dynamic. I think he has an opportunity to shine a light on baseball that's been missing for a long time, the sexiness of it. He looks the part. You could tell a cool story with him. I think he can be engaging in the community. I think he can get kids to be back into the space.
That's a good answer. Yeah, I like that. Okay, next one. The athlete from the past that you wish you could have repped.
Allen Iverson.
Ooh, why?
One thing about AI is people talk about Steph Curry changing the game of basketball, and he did. Great person. Allen Iverson's impact on the game of basketball post Michael Jordan was second to none. Okay? From a culture perspective, right? Allen Iverson was relatable based upon his size. He was dynamic. I was there those Cleveland days when the tickets was $10 and it was 100 people in the stands, except for when Allen Iverson came. It was sold out. You had to go to the bar inside the arena to watch the game. Okay. I believe if you take Allen Iverson out of Georgetown, I want him prior to being drafted to Philly number one. I want him prior to that. Give me Allen Iverson leaving Georgetown, coming into the league. I'm building a billion-dollar business with Allen Iverson today. There's no question about it. Still right now, he would have his retro business with the right product would probably have been second to Michael's today, had I represented Allen Iverson.
If Muhammad Ali was available on the market today, he's out of the Olympics. What's the first company, if you repped him, you would have connected to Muhammad Ali?
It's a buffet. If you got Muhammad Ali today with his, again, his wordplay, his insightfulness, by the way, his approach to his profession, he was dynamic. Everyone has to take a back seat to that. You know, he's a boxer. I can't even begin to think of where to begin with Muhammad Ali, because when you talk about brands, when you talk about outreach, when you talk about community, when you talk about just his ability to be in front of the camera, just Muhammad Ali out of the ring next to Howard Cosell and his dialogue. He was the people's champ. I remember telling LeBron this one time, and I say this to a lot of young guys, you know, even in defeat, you felt like Muhammad Ali won. When did Muhammad Ali really ever lose, right? He was a people's champ. He was. And so that's a tough one for me, Kyle. I don't really have the best answer for that one, but it would have been a joy to work with Muhammad Ali.
Hey, finally, I want to ask you this. That when I ask you about Muhammad Ali had the courage of his convictions and would talk politics. LeBron, similarly, is not going to duck anything. As a representative, do you ever worry about players going into a political sphere? Because it does turn off some people.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if worry is the right word, but you have to be sensitive to it. But at the same time, if that's what you believe in and that's what you're passionate about, you know, hey, you have to speak it. Because nowadays, more than any, we are and you are a major influence. And you give a lot of people hope. You give a lot, you know, some people get their education through the sports outlets or whatnot, and their motivation as well. And so we see a lot of things go on. The sad part about it is a lot of things that take place growing up for me, Kyle, was the norm. Things that's the light shined on now happen every day in my neighborhood. And so when you see those things transpire and you see the reaction of it today, you know, it's important. It's important. And there should be light shined on it. There's a lot of senseless things that take place that shouldn't, especially being a young Black man. You know, it's important for us to be very conscious of what's going on. I have sons. It's very important for me to talk to them in a certain way and try to help them understand how to navigate throughout the world or whatnot. And hopefully we get to a point to where we all are able to look at each other and support one another for who you are, how you treat somebody, not how you look, not how much money you may have or whatnot, but pretty much your character. And I think that we have a long way to go, but it's a fight. And again, and I understand some people just don't know. I walk around my neighborhood all the time. They don't know. They don't know what's going on in Watts or in Compton or in South Central LA, unless they watch it on the news. You know, but when you come from those places, inner city Cleveland, like I come from the Glenville community, you wake up with a pain. You wake up with a hurt every day. And you wake up with a you don't know how you're going to get from A to B. You know, there's no Waze app in real life. That's on your smartphone. But most people are feeling their way through day by day. and it's a struggle. One of the main things I struggle with throughout this pandemic is I know that kids depend on going to school and that breakfast and that lunch is their meals. They don't go to school, they don't get those meals. I'm sitting in my house, I'm by myself. I understand, I'm in my bubble. Everyone won't have that luxury, right? And so what's happening in the homes for these kids? How is it gonna affect them going forward? That's the type of things that I thought about that affect me. And then within that, we had all these other things going on from social issues. And it was just, it's a tough time for us. But you have to believe in what you believe in, and you have to find ways to express that to how you see fit.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, but do it from a place of care, not from a place of content.
That's great. Rich Paul, Clutch Sports. Hey, man, this was 35 great minutes. Thank you so much, bro. I love seeing you.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it. Good seeing you, too. And tell your family I said hello. Thank you.
And with that, Rich Paul disappears into the representative ether to make more deals. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a great weekend. Please follow us at The Volume Sports on Twitter, on Instagram. Rate, review, subscribe. We're having fun. Join us.
Volume.